Well, hello again, and welcome to the Wash and Word, where we offer verse-by-verse Bible teachings each and every day. We are currently in the book of John, and we are going to pick up and continue our study. Right in the book of John, we are in chapter 1, and we are going to be studying verses 14 through 18 today. And so if you have your Bibles out, which you may or may not, or you're listening online, I encourage you to follow along that way. But we're going to get right into it, because we always like to keep our messages within a certain time limit. In our last message, we kind of closed with a warning about trying to balance or trying to keep your sin in your life and also have Jesus at the same time. We sort of looked at the difference between a creation of God versus a child of God. And yes, they are two completely different things, yet in a way the same. We talked about how that only those who accept Christ, who become born-again believers, that we are born of the Spirit, that only those who take the name of Christ, only they are given the privilege of being called a child of God. Simply put, we are all indeed creations of God, but to be a child of God, one must accept Christ as one's Savior. And then, of course, we must repent of our sins and our behaviors. We must use that newly found indwelling Holy Spirit to fight the temptations of this world, the personal struggles that we have. We must go against the flesh and the human nature that defies the things of God, and we must fight to keep those sins and temptations out of our lives. We can never slack off enough to where we say, well, what? I'm just going to keep this sin. I have Jesus now, and Jesus forgives my sin. I'm going to go ahead and just continue this sin. I mean, I gave up this and I gave up that. Surely I can keep this one thing. No, you can't. You cannot have Jesus and keep your sin at the same time. You must fight constantly. So, John, continuing his teaching now, he continues with his opening statements, his prologue, if you will, and he's going to bring it to a climax in these next couple of verses. Let's take a look at just one verse for now, verse 14, and it's a powerful verse. So we're going to read it, and we're going to talk a little about it. Verse 14, it says that the Word, and we've already discussed that the Word was Jesus. Go ahead and get chapter 1, verses 1 through 5, and go ahead and listen to that audio sermon when you get a chance. You can get it online at washandword.com, and tells all about how the Word is Jesus. But getting back to verse 14, it says, the Word, Jesus, became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Now, we've already spent a good deal of time talking about the written Word of God, which was with God and is God, and we talked about how the Word is Jesus. Again, go back to verses 1 through 5 and re-listen to the audio. And we talked about how that name, Jesus, was given the name above all names. There was no other name greater than the name of Jesus. And yet God still holds his very written Word above even his own name, even his own son's name. So John, in just 13 short verses so far, has said some pretty deep stuff already. Some intriguing and interesting and thought-provoking subjects he's gotten into. But now, in this verse, it all becomes real. Literally becomes real. As in, the written Word is made flesh and had come to dwell among them. Now, John's previous emphasis on being a witness and testifying to truth was a setup for this verse. Again, that's an audio sermon that we preached a couple of days ago about being a witness and testifying. And not only has Jesus come in the flesh, but it was verified by countless amounts of people that he really walked this earth. And it amazes me that people today still think that Jesus was a myth. Yet they can't believe that Jesus walked the earth, yet they can accept any of our former living people of the past, any of our forefathers. They have no problem believing George Washington once walked the earth, or Abraham Lincoln, or that Alexander the Great was a real person, or Confucius, and they have no problem believing that. But yet with Jesus, it's still widely accepted that he was never actually born and walked the earth, yet how many people walked with him? And also notice, if you will, that John does not just say, "We have seen him." No, he says, "We have seen his glory." And not just his glory, like a beautiful building, you know, like the glory of a awesome, you know, structure, or the glory of a famous person that we might glorify, but he's talking about the glory of the one and only, is how he put it. He says, "The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only." That is, coming from God and full of grace and of truth. Now, at the time of preparing this message, my mind is going and what was going much faster than my pen will allow, because when I get to thinking about this concept of grace and truth, it just spurns within me a desire to put down on paper and into this microphone just exactly what that means. Let's break this down, and I try to be brief, but John testifies, that is, he is a witness to Christ's glory. And that is what to say that he was a witness to all of Jesus. Remember, even though in the narrative that we just read, and that being an early narrative reading of the life of Christ, that is, talking about the early part of his earthly ministry, remember that John is writing this at a long time future date of what he's actually talking about right now. This is being written between the year 80 and 90 AD. So at this point, he's already seen all of what has happened, not only with Christ's life, death, and resurrection, but what has happened to the first century church, how it has been persecuted and been scattered. And he's seen all of it, everything, all of Jesus's glory. He's seen all of his power. He's seen all of his love and all of his sacrifice. He's seen all of his grace. He's seen all of his mercy and all of Jesus's truth. He's seen all of Jesus' rebuking and his healing and his miracles and his compassion. And he has seen all of his anger and his friendship. He's seen Jesus' bravery. He's seen his peacemaking. He has seen his prophecy. He's seen all of that stuff of Jesus while he walked this earth. And yet here John is testifying to a life of Jesus. Yet, I left one thing out. There was one thing that was left out of that list, and it was done intentionally, because I believe John left it out intentionally as well. And that is, you see, there is no mention of judgment or condemnation or punishment or anything of the like. Look at verse 14b, the latter part of verse 14. It says that he came from the Father full of grace and truth. Where's the mention of condemnation and judgment and punishment and the things of that nature? Why are they not there? No, instead it says he came full of grace and truth. And please, please understand that Jesus came not to bring judgment. When Jesus came, he didn't come to bring judgment. Not yet, anyway. But he came full of grace and truth to usher in a period of time that we now call the age of grace, or the time of the church. We are living in an age of grace, otherwise known as the time of the church, a time in between his first and second coming, a time where we are experiencing an age of grace, a time of invitation to all who would come to the table of forgiveness and repentance and salvation. We are in a time or an age of patience and long suffering, as the door of heaven even now remains wide open for all who will come. But make no mistake about two truths that I'm about to reveal. Number one, this period or this age of grace, this time of open invitation, is only temporary. And it is only temporary whether we gauge it by the fact of a lifetime. You know, you only have 80 to 100 years at the most to accept this invitation. Or it is temporary in the sense that this age will one day come to an end and our Lord will return. But this time, the next time he returns, he is not coming back with grace and truth and love and mercy and patience and all the other things we mentioned a little bit a while ago. No. This time, he is coming back with fire and wrath and punishment and judgment, and it is all just due. Look at the difference between the Jesus of verse 14 and the Jesus that is coming back one day to judge. The following is a description in the book of Revelations, chapter 19, verses 11 through 17 through 16. This is the following description of the Christ that's coming back the second time. It says, and this is written, by the way, by the same man who's writing this gospel. I saw heaven standing open, and there before me was a white horse whose rider is called Faithful and True. With justice he judges and makes war. His eyes are like blazing fire, and on his head are many crowns. He has a name written on him that no one knows but he himself. He is dressed in a robe dipped in blood, and his name is the Word of God. Sound familiar? The armies of heaven were following him, riding on white horses and dressed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth came a sharp sword, and with which he used to strike down the nations, and he will rule them with an iron scepter, and he treads the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God Almighty. And on his robe and on his thigh he has the name King of Kings and Lord of All. Now, does that sound like the same Jesus John is describing, who has come from the Father full of grace and truth? No, that is a different Jesus. That is a Jesus that you do not want to be on the receiving end of. But today, the Bible says in Hebrews 4:7, when you hear his voice, harden not your hearts. Today is a day of salvation. Today is a day of offering. But even though he has come to usher in an age of grace and an age of truth, and that even though he came, as John says, full of grace and truth, there is a second truth about this time period that Jesus has ushered us into today. Number one was, we just looked at, not only is this period of time temporary and that he will come again in wrath, but the second important truth of this time period that we live in today, known as the age of grace, this period of time where Jesus has ushered in It was never meant to bring peace. Did you hear what I said? Even this Savior that came the first time and opened up the door to heaven for all who would come, he came full of grace and truth. Even now, even during this age, he did not come to bring peace. You say, well, how could he bring grace and truth and not peace? Well, not only did he not come to bring peace, in fact, he actually came to bring division. He himself, Jesus himself says in Matthew 10, verse 34, do not suppose that I have come to bring peace to the earth. No, I did not come to bring peace to the earth. I came not to bring peace, but a sword. I came to bring mothers against daughters and fathers against son and children against their parents and on and on. And you read these things and you go, well, that doesn't sound like the Savior of grace and truth. That sounds like somebody who's come to bring division. Yes! Now you're getting it. That is exactly what he came. He came to offer grace and invitation to salvation to the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God. But he did it with a sword. He did it to slice down the middle and separate believers from non-believers. There's no such thing as a meld between the two. You cannot have both. Light cannot have fellowship with darkness. Salt water and fresh water cannot mix. And this is one of the greatest problems the world is having today. People want Jesus and they want their sin at the same time. And you cannot have both. Do not be so deceived. Do not fall for the lie of the false teachers who tell you that you can have both. Jesus' first coming, I want you to think of it like a car. For those of you listening here on site, or if you're online listening, just imagine a four-lane highway, or imagine Highway 11 right out here. And imagine you're driving down Highway 11 or any four-lane highway with a median in the middle. And imagine a car that has all of a sudden crossed over the median and is now driving at 55 miles an hour or much faster if you've actually driven Highway 11. And it is driving right down the center of the other two-lane highway, but it's going in completely opposite wrong direction, heading straight for oncoming cars. And as it traverses down this road in the wrong direction, the oncoming cars simply must move to one side of the road or of that car or the other, lest they are involved in a deadly head-on collision. Now, Jesus, in this metaphor, is driving straight down the middle of a one-way road known as salvation. He's driving straight down the heart of humanity, and he came to disrupt the flow of traffic. He came to force you to one side or the other. He came to take a sword and slice down the middle and force you to decide, will you go to the left or will you go to the right? He didn't come to say, hey, we can all travel down the same road, whether we go left, right, sideways, any old way we want. No. Simply put, we are either for him or we are against him. We will either be saved or we will either be condemned. Do you understand? Do you understand that Jesus didn't come to meld all things together and create peace? Not this time. He will one day, but not this time. This time, it's decision time. And you are either for him or you are against him. And the biggest atrocity of this compromise with Jesus and the melding together of sin and this acceptance and teaching of having the world and the things of the world and Jesus together, this is the one thing. This is not just happening in the world, but it's happening right here in the churches nationwide. This is why the church has moved away from verse-by-verse Bible preaching almost predominantly. because by doing so, it can steer clear of the condemning passages of Scripture. It can steer clear of the passages that cause division, that force you to make a decision one way or another. I'll tell you a brief example of a couple of Christian singers I used to love listening to. Ray Bolts had some of the greatest worship music I've ever listened to when I was, this was a few years back, you may remember him. And then one day Ray Bolts came out and announced he was a homosexual, and he was going to stop singing worship songs and go and find a church that would accept him for the way he was. No effort to change. Just accept me, and I want to still be a homosexual, and I still want to have Jesus and all the benefits. Sorry, Ray, it doesn't work that way. There was another Christian singer not too long ago, Jennifer Knapp. Loved her. And she also came out of the closet a few years back. But what I respect about her decision is she basically said, I'm not going to try to fit God's word into my decision. And she understood that her decision meant that she chose a side of the road. Now, I hope and pray for both of them to come back to the truth. But you got to respect someone that at least has the knowledge to make the separation. And that's what Jesus came. The portrait of evil and God trying to coexist, the people that are trying to allow that to happen, it just boggles my mind and quite frankly upsets me. I mean, I gotta ask, what has happened to the John the Baptist type preaching? The John the Baptist preaching that gets in your face with truth and boldness, but also with love. Remember, being bold for the gospel and being a witness and testifying for truth is and starts with loving others. To deny yourself and love others. And that is just what John the Baptist did. Not only did he preach boldly and loudly and did back down from no one, but he also denied all the earthly pleasures. And he loved his people that he's preached to enough to give them the truth. I mean, that's the greatest love you can think about. That's what made him such a great man. He denied his earthly pleasures. He ate locusts and lived in the desert, and he wore camel's hair. He denied himself, and he was so true to his followers and his listeners that he preached boldly. Now, speaking of John the Baptist, John's narrative now goes back to John the Baptist, and let's go ahead and read verses 15 through 18, and we'll stop right after that. Verse 15. John testifies, that is John the Baptist, concerning him. He cries out, saying, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me has surpassed me, because he was before me.' From the fullness of his grace we have all received one blessing after another. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth," there it is again, "came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but God, the one and only, who is at the Father's side, has made him known." It has always amazed me that people flocked out to the cities to hear this rugged preacher who was dressed in hairy skins and had such strange eating habits, why anyone would go out to hear him. And the answer, obviously, is that the message he gave was one that touched deeply the need of every human heart. And people were hungry to what John had to say. And to any preacher or pastor or teacher or missionary or shepherd that may be listening to this right now, or they are going to listen to it in the future, I say to you, do not be afraid to tell your hearers the truth. Please do not shy away from the fullness of the gospel and every verse in this Bible. For any reason, stray away from that. Because listen to me, the power is in the message, not the messenger. The power is in the message, not the messenger. And if the message changes, the power changes. And to you, Christian, I say the same thing. Take a stand. Testify, be bold, be truthful, be willing to deny yourself, even to the greatest sacrifice you can think of, laying down your life for the sake of the gospel. Listen, God loves you. We love you here at the Wash and Word. We encourage you to go on to our website, washandword.com, and we just want to ask you before we go, are you a part of the family? Do you belong to the family of God? Are you ready to move from creation to child? If you are, accept Christ today, for tomorrow may be too late. God bless you. Have a great day.